Zora Durham.
Nicholas Maggard holding a proxy.
Christian Flournoy. Ezra Galperin. Present. Davion Geckman. Getulio Gonzalez Militieri. Holden Hitchcock. Niles Height. Here. Sion Kim. Jeffrey Letterman. Here. Kathy Liu. Flora Ming. Michael O'Donnell. John Purcell. Saab Razak. Michael Scully. Oh, sorry. Jessica Silverman. David Soares. Christian Torala. Adam Vinson.
Here.
Thor Wagasback. Jinzu Wu. Here. Eric Yao.
All right. Cornell University is located on the traditional homeland of the Gaigahono. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gaigahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Gaigahono people, past, present, and present, to these lands and waters. The minutes of the April 17th meeting are in the box. The chair would entertain a motion to approve after a read, of course. Chair would now call on any announcements from members of the assembly. Okay, we are Representative.
Hi everyone. I just want to take a wait. This is an announcement.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that today is Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day for the 6 million Jews murdered in the Holocaust. I bring this up because we're the last generation who is going to know Holocaust survivors, and I think we have an even greater responsibility to keep their memory alive and to remember it didn't begin with gas chambers. It began with words, with hate-filled rhetoric, and most importantly, people who sat by and watched idly as it progressed. Preventing something like this from ever happening again requires due diligence. It requires us to remember. It requires us to call out that rhetoric when we see it. And I commend President Kotlikoff for doing so in canceling Kilani's performance. Today at 5:15 p.m. in Annabelle Taylor Hall, there will be a rare opportunity to hear a survivor testimony from Professor Emeritus Roald Hoffman. We'll likely still be in session then, but if there's anyone here who can make it to there, I encourage you to do so. Thank you.
Deputy President Maggard.
Yeah, so I have a couple of logistical things. The president's office has reached out and responses to Resolution 36, which is addressing recent extraordinary actions of the federal government, and Resolution 40, clarifying grading systems on core syllabi may fall outside of the 30-day window. The president's office apologizes, and we will send those responses when we get them. Furthermore, on your agenda for today, Resolution 46 has been added, which is amendments to the Student Assembly Charter. You can find those in the box. Additionally, Resolution 50 has been moved to the top of the third reading calendar in order to allow the SAAC co-president to present.
Right. Don't have any more announcements. We'll now move on to public comment. Seeing as Sophia.
Yeah, update from the Office of Ethics. Hi all, this should be brief. In the office's discussion with admin and review of our governing documents on the Code of Ethics, as well as a complaint that we received back in March, The Office of Ethics noticed an oversight in the passage of several resolutions that resulted in a violation of our governing documents. Article 4 of the Charter and Article 10 of the bylaws both respectively state that any amendments to the Charter or bylaws must be submitted in writing and then presented at the previous regular meeting to the Assembly. This just stood out to us because multiple resolutions in this term making significant amendments were not submitted in writing or presented at the previous meeting to allow members time for discussion, amendments, and overall like kind of decision-making before voting. Our charter and bylaws are foundational legal instruments and the contract between the Board of Trustees and the student body that grants the Assembly its authority to exist and govern. Given this, we've just authored a report explaining it in greater detail that we've already conveyed to admin. As this is just an oversight and not an ethics violation, we have no official recommendation for the Assembly and ultimately only voted just to call it to attention for the Assembly and our executive committee to decide how to act at will. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Galperin.
Is there somewhere we can find that?
Oh, yes. Let me upload that to the box. Sorry, everyone.
Okay, now open the floor to public comment. Again, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Okay, actually, we're up to presentations. Professor Emeritus Hoffman. Microphone, if possible. It doesn't pick up very well.
Thank you,
sit
Adam.
If you want.
Good enough.
You can sit if you want. You can sit if you want.
Can I stand if I want?
But you can also stand, yeah.
Thank you, Adam, and thank the Student Assembly for the opportunity to provide an update on a working group. It's called the Climate Change Curriculum Working Group at Cornell. It's been in existence since about June. I'm going to provide an update of what we've accomplished so far, but I'm really here to get your reactions to what we've done so far and what your needs might be, what you would like to see in the curriculum across the campus to prepare you for your future. And as depicted in the PowerPoint, we're part of the Sustainable Cornell Council. That's the overarching organization. Under that is Education and Engagement Committee, and there we are, the Climate Change Curriculum Working Group, charged to prepare Cornell students for a climate-changing future. We consider it a moral imperative. And strengthen how we do this at Cornell is one of our goals, both in the curriculum and beyond. Next slide, please. Let me just pause. I think you're all aware that we're in pretty serious trouble, climate change. I follow the news. I drink a lot of wine. Seems to help. But that doesn't really help. It's an escape. So what's listed here are kind of the wide-ranging scope and deliverables we were offered in our charge, new courses focused on climate change or related, community-engaged learning opportunities, curriculum models, faculty training, a bunch of other things. So and there's some other opportunities of helping everybody understand what's happening. I specifically focus on climate change and what it means to the food we enjoy, like that pizza. There's about 20 stories to tell right on that piece of pizza, what's going on with climate change, and people can relate to that. Next slide. So the first thing working group has done, we're developing a faculty training program to help faculty incorporate climate change into existing courses, create new modules, programs for students, whatever it might be. It's going to be offered in May and June. 5 sessions, registrations are already open. I'm co-chairing that along with the executive director of Cornell's Teaching Innovation teaching, the Center for Teaching Innovation. We hope to see registrations picking up pretty quick and help more faculty get more climate change into what they're teaching. Next slide. So here's kind of the main themes of that program for faculty. Climate change 101. How to confront climate change. What are the solutions? How to address climate change anxiety, climate change justice, and then incorporating the topic into classes. Next slide. In the course, there's a new course that's being offered. It's very limited enrollment right now. This is the first semester, but I teach the course. I'm going to try to promote it a little bit. What's unique about it is it covers a wide range of topics. It's just not climate change science. We talk about climate change anxiety. We talk about climate change humor. And that's how I was dressed when I introduced Aaron Sachs, who talked about climate change humor. I was dressed as a dinosaur, tried to add a little humor to the story. Activism, how to talk about climate change, the role of media. So I just left the class a few minutes ago, and we kind of reviewed what they found to be the strengths, and these are what they're telling me. There's even a session on career options in climate change. Next slide. And that's, again, what I just heard from the students is the breadth of topics. It's not just the science. It's much broader than that. Lots of opportunities for discussion, to hear from each other, what's going on, how do you feel about the future. A lot of guest speakers, they really enjoyed that. They seem to enjoy that more than me, but that's okay, I'm over it. And solution focused. Now it's gonna be offered again in spring of 2026. The course number and name, the name will stay the same, but the course number will change because the current one is not a permanent type number. And hopefully there'll be other people helping me teach the course. Next slide. If you can read these, I mean, they're pretty powerful statements. I can't read them from here, from the journals. Basically, you know, seeing hope is not a feeling, it's an action. They really appreciated the opportunities to converse with each other about climate change. And they tell really good stories that I see and we share amongst all of us. Next slide. And if you've been in Mann Library recently in the lobby, there's an exhibit that started yesterday or the day before. It's called The Power of Food. This is another example of telling the climate change story, but this time it's through the food. Food has a unique power. If you get a chance, Mann Library did a really good job of telling the story. And there's also guides as to where the climate change minor is, what else you can learn. If there's a quiz, a Jeopardy game, there's a variety of things, a way of telling the story about climate change through food. Next slide. And some more of the panels. On the right is the one that lists a lot of the climate change courses that are offered at Cornell. And one more slide, I think it's the final one. There's also something called climate change cafes. This is where pizza comes in. I've done 2 or 3 of them with students and others. We sit around a table and talk about how they're doing, but also talk about all the food and how they're changing, such as on a pizza. And usually it's a lot of laughter. We really have a lot of fun with these, but at the same time, it's a way to tell the story of climate change. Last slide, I think. Okay, that was it. Again, the working groups, moving along, we're having a program for faculty. There's a new course, there's some other options, but now I would really like to hear your questions and what your needs might be in the curriculum given climate change.
Floor is now open to questions. And by the way, if you're interested in looking at a copy of this presentation, I place it in the box. Representative Gackman.
I know you just asked what you could do to help us, but I asked the reverse question, what we could do to help you and promote this class in terms of ensuring that more and more people know about this class besides, you know, just the people in this room. Us as representatives have access to a large student, have communicated with a large student, with the entire student body. So is there anything we can do to help you out directly?
I don't know the specifics of what you can do, but any all help would be appreciated. I really, well, in my humble opinion, I think every student should take a course like this. Again, it's not just the ones that get bring about despair learning about the science. It goes way beyond that. And frankly, a lot of it is fun. When you role play, the denier, I'm the believer, and we've done that. And in one case, the believer said, or the denier said, I could say anything. And it really scared that person. And the believer said, it's like talking to a wall. But it's a really interesting experience. Other questions?
Representative Gonzalez Malachieri.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So as far as the curriculum go, are you taking suggestions? You're actively taking suggestions for the curriculum?
Yes.
I don't know if these topics are included. Something that I would add, and yeah, please. The supply chain and how that impacts climate change. Also, environmental racism. For example, you know, certain redlined communities are mostly the most impacted by climate change. Also, climate gentrification in Florida due to sea level rise. Certain people are buying up land because of, you know, like projections in the future. So these topics, I think, you know, they're a little bit ahead, but, you know, it's good for people to know.
Thank you. We had a speaker come and talk about indigenous knowledge and climate justice. We covered that, but no, absolutely. These others are really important. I talk about the food chain, but it could be bigger than that.
Yeah, when I mentioned supply chain, I'm talking about like mining, resources and the impacts that has.
Sure.
And then also like the impacts that I have on people as well.
Let me ask a question, which I often ask. I give a lot of guest lectures and so on, if you may. In one word, describe your future given climate change.
Could you repeat that?
In one word, describe your future given climate change.
Limited.
Adaptation, modular. Like everything has to be designed now with that, like that we're going to be using in the next 50 years has to be designed and built with that in mind. For example, if we ever get around to building a high-speed rail, it has to be a modular design to adapt to rising sea level.
So solution-oriented. Yep. I often hear the word hopeless, overwhelmed, but we try to get around that, but that doesn't help. The antidote to despair is action. And I forgot the opening line. My opening line was, everybody know what Professor Emeritus means? Anybody know? It means I'm retired. I'm not getting paid to be here. I actually want to be here.
We have time for one more question, just about. Seeing none. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Great. Time. Okay, moving on to our public comment now. I was out of order earlier. We have 3 minutes for any community member who would like to speak. But once again, seeing none, we're moving to the second readings calendar. The first item on the agenda is Resolution 46. First, the third reading. Jericho, you're up. And because we only have this room until 7:10, we're going to do 15 minutes of debate per resolution. Sorry, I know that limits some of the things you have to say, but we have very little time here. And we only have one other meeting where there's bound to be even more resolutions. So,
like consequences for like not following certain actions, because we've kind of been just going like operating off of like a good faith system, but that does not work because people break the rules like a lot. So basically, like a couple of things, actually we can just like go through it really quickly, it's not like too long, but in general we'd be switching everything from the appropriations committee. It'd be now referred to as the finance committee in regards to resolution 42, but like we have to like wait to see what happens with that. So I think you have a problem with that part though, it's something else, so that's probably fine. We also have to, let's see what else. Okay, yeah, also like informing people like time of meeting whenever like we're reporting for next year. So basically just like letting them know they can send representatives to like speak on their behalf. Also defining what representatives like are, kind of just like making it a looser definition, because like it doesn't really matter who speaks, if I'm being honest, as long as they have good like fundamental knowledge about the organization itself. That's what's really important. Also there's what's it called? There's just like consequences as well. If you like refuse to like, you know, if you omit like a conflict of interest, basically. So like it can result in like removal, an investigation from Office of Ethics, like removal from the assembly as a whole, should they see fit. Probably won't happen. Just don't do that. Just say you have a conflict of interest, not that serious. Also there's more of a collaboration aspect in terms of GPSA and SA for the things that like we both fund together, but that's like at the beginning of the year for VP of Finance. Fallbacks as well. So a thing generally, this is because of like COVID, but an issue that we've had is like people having like a ridiculous amount of money. So basically it would be just, you know, clawback, so we can like, because I feel like we penny pinch here a lot, or like we, you know, can't fund everything, but people come to us to fund stuff for special projects and whatnot. So this would help us fund a lot of those projects that we see, while also not putting so much of a strain on what we can and cannot do. What else is there? Oh yeah, student assembly logo as well. I don't know if you guys know this, but anything that we fund like on campus, the events, everything, like the lights, for example, when that happened, basically they're supposed to say this is like funded in part by the student assembly. People don't do that, and they're supposed to like fine them for that. But like I'm putting like here, like in a stipulation, there's like a strike system essentially. So like if it happens over and over again, we fine you like 10% of like the total of like cost of the event. So people don't do that, because it's kind of ridiculous. People don't like us, but we fund everything. So that'll help with that, hopefully. What else do we have? That's like the main important stuff. Yeah. Does anybody have like any questions? That's like basically it. Oh, and no discrimination in tandem with New York State like Constitution. That wasn't in here previously, so we added that as well. But that's like, those are the major changes essentially. So, does anyone have any questions?
Representative Kim.
Hi. Sorry, I might have missed it, but what was the reason we're changing the name to finance?
Oh, because it just like makes sense. Since people are like, what's appropriations? Like we know, because like intelligent, but like people just like, everybody does not know. Like it's not like a, you know, when you hear finance committee, you're like, okay, they're doing treasury stuff. It's not, you know, it's an easier change.
Okay, that got it. Fine. Thank you.
Representative Tarala.
All right, hey. All right, it's kind of a long story. I was also writing a resolution. I wrote this resolution a while ago now to amend the same appendices of the charter, and we can't have two resolutions that are doing that at the same time. So I have very roughly in the last like 10 minutes slapped together proposed amendments to this resolution, which I support, which just adds like the points that I was going to hit on my resolution, which is mainly targeted towards the liaisons and like the relationship between the student assembly and our byline organizations. Currently the liaisons aren't like real, they're not like real positions. Like no one really treats them that way. Okay. Like, dude, I'm technically on the e-board of like three different like organizations. Like, have I been to a meeting? Have I been invited to a meeting? Have I been, you know, any of that? So it doesn't really make any sense, because we're supposed to be there to you know, make sure that they're spending the money on the right stuff. We had an organization that I'm technically supposed to be in charge of change their name, which they're not allowed to do, you know, things like that. So, you know, this resolution just sort of, I think, puts a little bit of more teeth on the charter so that, you know, they don't feel like they can just do whatever they want. Even if we give them like $150,000, like they can do whatever they want with it. And but it also like makes the liaisons have to do their job too, and show up to meetings and be participating in the stuff. But yeah, it's in the box. Proposed amendments to R46 .doc. I don't know. Just
are you making a motion to amend?
Yeah, I'd like motion. I guess.
Is there a second? Consent.
Point of inquiry. When we do changes, like if we're amending something like this, do we have to like redline it again, or like do we just do that after that?
Yeah, this is the
redline. The version that you submit will incorporate his red lines in addition to yours.
Yeah, just give it a read before you, like, I don't know, decide.
Okay. All those in favor of this amendment, raise your placards. All those opposed? All those abstaining? All right, this amendment passes. The floor is open to debate. Once again, Representative Chowdhury.
Motion to close debate.
Seeing no dissent, debate is closed. As is, yeah. Now moving. We're now moving to Resolution 52.
So, I'm gonna keep this super short and sweet. We just had an entire presentation about like why climate change needs to be talked about more. And I thought it would be a really good idea if we brought back the idea of theme years. For our first years who weren't here last year, we had a theme year about the freedom of expression where the university went and sponsored a lot of different events of all about like freedom of speech on campus. Its application, a little questionable, but the sentiment I think was good. And I think we could use a little bit of good PR in our lives right now. So I wanted to request the president's office to create a theme year for sustainability. Yeah, that's it.
Representative Wu.
I really support this resolution, and I remember that like I'm a freshman now, and when I visited Cornell during the Admitted Student Day in 2024, I remember all the like banners of freedom of expression theme year. So I remember that as a success, but I looked at some reports about like the theme year proposal for like the last academic year, which was supposed to be like right to bear arms according to Cornell Daily Sun, but seemingly that wasn't implemented. So I was wondering if you know any information about like what's the status of the this like theme year thing, since it's not really implemented for this academic year.
Yeah, great question. Two things. One, I think right to bear arms is a little bit more controversial versus sustainability, which is why it got as much slack as it did, and we were also in the transformation of like leadership. And two, like theme years did come out of like President Pollock's like idea, like it was her idea versus this is like Kotlikoff and the administration. And he's been like very honestly a little bit more hesitant to do so. We floated the idea through the president's office, and we like received a lot of like mixed messaging. But I do think like just a sentiment of their like requesting there to be a theme year for something that like on net objectively is just good for sustainability is a good thing. So it doesn't hurt.
Representative Gonzalez Malatieri.
I think sustainability is good. It's awesome. I would probably go a little bit further. Maybe sustainability and transition. I think people don't focus enough on the transition to renewables. I mean, that's why we're stuck, essentially. So maybe emphasize that. And also, when we're talking about sustainability, you know, the three aspects of it is economic, environmental, and social. Try to emphasize the social much. If we are going to transition our energy systems, like, let's make sure it's equitable as well. Thank you.
I don't want to get too caught up in the nomenclature of like what the theme here is. I don't think it's that deep. But when it comes to the other half, I did intentionally keep this very, very vague. For a little bit of context for you guys right now, the administration is getting a little bit of like heat from the city of Ithaca because they've currently proposed like, what is it, like carbon neutral by 2030. Yeah, carbon neutral by 2030 plan that Cornell University recently opted out of, which was fairly controversial. So because of that, I intentionally left this like as broad as possible so that the university doesn't, like, the more specificities they are, the more they get to nitpick and like be like, oh, we don't want to do this portion or this portion or this portion. But I do think like having a theme year here would give the student assembly like a lot more opportunities to launch a lot more like cool environmental projects on campus. Being a member of the environmental committee this year, there's been a lot of like stuff we wanted to do, but we really just haven't had like either A, the funds, or B, like the correct rationale for like wanting to lead a lot of different things. But I do think if there's like a united effort like on campus to do a lot of different sustainability efforts, they can manifest in a lot of ways like you were talking about, like over here. And if you want to get involved, let's get this passed and then get on like the planning committee that I mentioned in the resolution.
Vice President Monoy.
I'm in full support of the resolution. I think it's a great idea. I was just curious like what type of ideas or things that you would think we could do to help like organize or have events or projects like you have listed.
Yeah, great question. So there's a lot of different sustainability efforts on campus, but I think the problem with sustainability on campus is it's not centralized. This would do that. And they honestly just don't have like enough like bodies to like do a lot of things that they want to do. Like composting on campus is like a huge thing that Cornell Dining has continuously tried to do. Where's Ezra? Dining committee, like literally like every single time, like half dining committee is just people who really care about like sustainable dining. But there's also like six of them, and we have like what, like 9 different dining halls and like 20 different eateries across campus. Like it's hard to practice, it's hard to pursue, and they still get to do a lot of cool things like that. We just talked about a climate change curriculum. I think climate change can be impacted in like everything from green architecture to public policy to literal environmental science. Like it plays a role like in every single different way. I don't have all the answers, which is why I created a committee to create all the answers. So yeah, there you go.
Before we close debate, I'd like to make a motion to amend. This resolution was written during an environmental committee meeting on Sunday, and I noticed that a few of the people who were authors didn't sign their name on it. Wasn't certain if that was just a mistake or not, so I just reached out. We just have one name, just so amend to add Representative Blum as a sponsor. Second. Any dissent? Yeah. All those. Actually, if we're doing this by unanimous consent, seeing no dissent, then yeah, this amendment passes. And I'd smile favorably on a motion to close debate.
Could I request the sponsorship on the resolution as well?
I'm actually going to say no, because I do want to start a precedent here before I get out that we got to stop hopping on resolutions that we did not write, guys. Like, I'm sorry, but like, just like, absolutely not. Like, if you write the resolution, put yourself on the sponsors list. If you did not write the resolution, support it, vote yes, but like, do not. I'm getting out of here, but like, this is like my one grandstand. Like, absolutely.
Again, I smile favorably on a motion to close debate. Okay. This resolution has been moved on to the third reading calendar. President Durant.
We'll now move to Resolution 53, Integration of Medicare and Medicaid Coverage at Cornell Health.
So before I begin, I just want to give everyone a chance to pull up the resolution in the box. It's been amended, so it's the one that's in this packet. I don't think it's accurate, so it's good. Everyone just take a chance to just open it up.
In the meantime, Representative Geckman, if you'd just like to present on the resolution.
Yeah, I won't waste more time. So, yeah, this resolution is about enhancing Medicare and Medicaid utilization at Cornell Health. So it was brought to my attention by the co-sponsors of this resolution who did a great amount of work into writing this together, David Dwan and Sarah Almaswamy. We all kind of sat down. We realized that Medicaid isn't – while Cornell Health accepts Medicaid, it doesn't accept it on the pharmaceutical level. And so this resolution kind of just clarifies so that Medicaid can be utilized in all aspects of Cornell Health, and also provides a lot of context for where for other institutions that allow Medicaid, and just provides more information. So that's why I just said kind of read through it. It's very comprehensive. I could sit here and read through it all day, but I think that's pretty straightforward, but I'm open to any questions.
Representative Gonzalez-Montieri.
Have you heard of the community care program through Veterans Affairs or the VA at all?
I've heard of it, but there's a lot of things like this was put together this week, so there's like a lot of things that, like, we didn't really go to, but I'd love to potentially add and communicate with them.
Yeah, so like essentially the VA in, I guess, rural locations like Ithaca, since they don't have access to a VA hospital, they partner with local clinics and offices, and the VA basically subsidizes the care. I think it would be very helpful for the veterans on campus to integrate community care with Cornell Health. I don't know if there's a possibility to do it, but that would be a huge W.
Representative Letterman.
Hey, just a couple of quick logistical things. First off, could you clarify what you mean when you say, like, coverage of Medicaid for pharmaceuticals, what we don't have versus what we should have? And then second, do you have any mechanisms of enforcement for some of the things later on where you're talking about, like, reports and things like that, but it's difficult to make these things happen. So do you have any way of, like, ensuring oversight from some administrator, like the school or something like that? That there's coverage for Medicaid but not for pharmaceuticals, what does that mean?
Vice President Flannoy.
This is also just kind of a side note clarification. So like Medicaid is functioning like as the federal government, like paying like their insurance, medical insurance. And so there's just certain pharmaceuticals, certain prescriptions that like they won't fund. And so this is like essentially just trying to like expand that or attemptively expand like what the money can actually be used for, because there are just things that aren't covered. And so that's kind of like, I just want to clarify that's like the function of Medicaid.
Representative Chidori, and also 10 minutes on debate.
I don't think anyone like fundamentally disagrees with the purpose of this resolution. I'm just like extremely dubious about like the policy application of this resolution. Like you yourself said, you like guys came up with this like this week. Like I've been trying to like work about like parking at Cornell Health for like 3.5 months, and they've been like having a hard time getting back to me. So like this is like a multi-million dollar change in like applications and things like that. Like how much due diligence has like actually gone into like the writing behind this resolution? And like, do you think like if we pass this as like a body, like it seriously has like a good chance of like working out like fundamentally?
I would say that for all resolutions, not what, yes, I think it's very important about what's written on paper, but I think it's also much more important also who's writing it and who's trying to bring it forth and who's trying to implement it. And I'll just say this, I'm putting 110% of my effort to making sure that if this passes, it gets enacted. So even once I'm off the assembly, because this resolution, once it passes, it passes. So that'll be my little side project once I'm off the student assembly. If you have issues with that, I mean, you could vote against it. That's on you. But yeah.
Representative
Rizal.
Dissent? Seeing none, debate is closed. We'll move into the presentation of Resolution 54, expanding free and subsidized student parking at Cornell University.
All right. I know that this is also a resolution. This resolution is much more straightforward in a way. I understand that there will be difficulties in implementing it, so I'm just getting it. And so yeah, the idea of it is to subsidize parking for all students, but it also puts more of a focus on students who are on financial aid and assisting them with achieving parking. I know that parking has been a major issue amongst the workers at Cornell, the graduate student union. And I think that this is something that us as a student assembly need to take a fight on, need to start a fight on as well. I think that the prices of parking are exorbitantly high to the point where there's many students that can't afford it. And so again, yes, this would be difficult to implement, but we need to start a conversation on it, and we need to start it here and now.
Representative Kim.
Hi. Just a question for you. I think the reason, partially a reason why the fee for parking is so high is because there's very limited space. So we want to restrict the number of people who can get the parking limit. So if we lower the price to a certain point where it gets affordable to a lot of people, how are we going to deal with the lack of space we have?
Yeah, so the idea of this resolution is that I would work under a waiver program, so it wouldn't be exactly for everybody. It would prioritize first people with financial needs and demonstrated hardship. And so Cornell Transportation Services, the Office of Financial Aid, and the Student Assembly would all work together to determine the application criteria, the waiver amounts, and the annual allotments for eligible students. So while Cornell might not be able to physically change the prices of these parking spots, they can I believe in my eyes that they can subsidize it.
Vice President Flannoy.
I just wanted to get some clarification. I think it's a good resolution. I think the idea behind it is great. I wanted to clarify. So you mentioned like Cornell can adopt like this multi-phase strategy to roll it out. So how is Cornell supposed to like choose what 200 students are selected, and even like why specifically 200 students?
Yeah, I think in terms of the number, it was just kind of made an arbitrary number that would be kind of somewhat reasonable to at least consider. It's 200 parking spots, not 1,000, which I think would make this much more difficult to implement. In terms of what the criteria would be, again, that's kind of like what something that I don't believe us as Student Assembly members. We could sit here for over a year and try to put together the criteria, but I think it's important to communicate with other offices. And what this resolution does is it starts that conversation of connecting all these different offices together to really get to work on implementing this resolution and getting the subsidized part.
Representative Shiduri.
Okay, this is just a comment, guys. Oh my gosh. Due diligence is needed when we create policies, okay? Like, yes, parking is really, really hard on campus. We all know it. But it's also not like the parking office is like evil big bad guys or like any one of these administration offices are like big bad guys. Like, send out an email to them and see what they respond with. Because I did it literally 3 months ago and I've been meeting with people about like how to make parking better. And like, we're getting towards a resolution, but it takes time. So there's lots of like different like legal violations, things like that they have to go around. And they understand that student parking is hard. But also, like, you need to be, like, very tactful when you come up with policy solutions. There should be zero reason why we're coming up with resolutions in, like, a week to say, like, hey, let's come up with this random program to pick 200, like, people to, like, get, like, subsidized parking from, instead of, like, working with the offices from, like, where they're at and actually coming up with, like, tactful policy solutions. Like, yes, we can just pass it, but, like, what does that serve more than, like, a resume point on a bullet, or, like, a bullet on a resume, rather than just, like, actually getting a meaningful policy passed, which is currently happening right now. Like, we have an entire office of assemblies that you should go and do. Like, David, I love, like, what you're doing and, like, what you're advocating for, but there should be a right way that you go about to, like, make policies on this campus, and this is not it. Like, you need to think about these things a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm going to have to strongly disagree with that simply because, look, what you do with these resolutions is you get them passed as the conversation begins, right? With the Cornell Student Health, with my Resolution 10, with bringing Narcan having Narcan in the on-campus housing. Yes, is that difficult? Yes, did I communicate with Cornell Health? Yes, and they said they would look forward to seeing this.
10 minutes left in debate.
And so after that resolution was passed, now I've started a conversation with them, and we have an outline what that conversation will look like. Send them an email to the parking and be like, hey, you got my subsidized parking. I think it's very productive. And we need to do this. I think it's the public as well. Because how do you know by your conversation?
You're CC'd on a thread.
I responded to you, you didn't respond back to me. So that's on you, man.
Out of order. Decorum.
Conversation was
Representative Geckman. Representative Geckman. Okay, next is Liaison Grove.
Let's go. Okay, couple comments. SAC did polling recently with all the Ivies, and Yale, Columbia, Brown, and Harvard all reported having free parking. That's my first point, is that would be a good addition in your, whatever it's called, like all the other colleges.
Yeah,
thank you. Second of all, line 47, advanced equity. I think it's important to add off-campus student athletes because, like, I have to drive to the boathouse and I have to leave at 4:10 and I have to pay for parking on campus, and I have to park on campus, and that's expensive and frustrating. And that's something that is, like, not, you can't get around that. And then my last comment is, I agree with a bunch of the comments said, like, it is important to, like, create resolution,